Good afternoon and welcome back to Libations and Legends, the Oddcast. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jen.
And we're here for another fun-filled episode of Libations and Legends. What's drinking today, Jen?
We got some margaritas.
Margaritas that I prepared.
Yes.
With salt on the rim.
Salt on the rim, yes.
Because it's really tart otherwise.
Yes. Yes.
So, you got anything special leading in today, honey?
Well, usually have a little bit. You know, we try to find like stranger news type, you know, scenario situations. But unfortunately, this is just sad news that they found the bodies. They think that they found the bodies of JJ and Tylee Vallow. Which if you are like Bob and I, we've been following that story about Lori Vallow and her husband, Chad Daybell. There's just like a slew of dead bodies behind them. They belong to this doomsday branch of some Mormon cult. And it's just, you know, they believe the end of the world's coming in July 2020. With all the shit that's been happening, who knows? So
they might be right.
They might be, but I doubt it. But, you know, it's just really sad because when this first happened, and I was like, why has it taken so long for them, for anybody to ask where these children are? I mean, it was like they've been missing since September of 2019. Why? I don't remember seeing this until like
because there's so much everywhere that we're inundated and you never get, not often that you get a full even update of where things went with investigations or anything like that. It's just we live in the moment and we move on.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's sad. You were kind of hoping, I kind of knew, I mean, I don't mean to be like a naysay negative, but I knew that they were probably not alive.
Right, so. Yeah, unfortunately. After a little while, it kind of seemed that way.
Yeah, well, so that's kind of our sad news.
Well, thanks for pumping us up again to start up the episode,
Jen. Hey, no problem.
Jen.
That's what I'm here for.
Hey, I believe you're starting us out this week, right?
I am, and you spun the wheel for me, and I got the occult. So, what I have for you is rocket scientist, deviant occultist, and ultimate mad scientist, Jack Parsons. So, Jack Parsons was born in Los Angeles on October 2nd, 1914. Parsons began his first experiments in his own backyard, where he would build gunpowder-based rockets.
Like every young man.
Like most kids, yes. So although he only received a high school education, Parsons' childhood friend, Ed Foreman, approached Frank Molina, who was a graduate student at the California Institute of Technology, and they formed a small group devoted to the study of rockets. They referred to themselves jokingly as the Suicide Squad because of the dangerous, you know, nature of their work.
Did they know that's trademarked?
Well, it was like, what, 1930-something?
Oh, maybe they got the trademark in ahead of time.
Probably. So the squad quickly realized that Parsons was a genius at creating rocket fuels. So, and versions of the rocket fuels that he developed were later used by NASA. So, you know, we got him. He's a smart dude. Very, very intelligent. So, but then in 1943, the former Suicide Squad, now known as Aero Engineering Corporation, saw their work legitimized as they they played a crucial role in founding NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah. So, you know, we're talking like big time. We're getting a big time. We're getting up there.
So they just started out as, you know, basically a group of friends with a similar interest.
Right.
And kind of built upon that to be, you know, the man.
Right.
For NASA.
Right. So government involvement led to greater success as Parsons, for Parsons, but it also meant they would take a closer look at his personal life. Here's where it gets interesting.
Yeah, you get that notoriety and all of a sudden people want to know about you.
Oh, yeah. Especially the government if you're working for NASA and shit like that. So, at the same time that Parsons was pioneering scientific developments that would help put a man on the moon, he was also engaging in activities that would have newspapers refer to him as a madman.
If you believe, they put a madman on the moon.
Parsons had been attending meetings of the Ordo Templi, or Orientis. I don't think I'm saying that right. The OTO, which was led by...
Oh, the OTO.
Which was led by the notorious British occultist Aleister Crowley.
Aleister Crowley.
That crazy little
OTO.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, you know me.
You down with OTO? No. Yeah, yeah. Popularly known as the wickedest man in the world, Aleister Crowley was. He encouraged his followers to follow one commandment, which is do what thou wilt. So
he's Antifa for 1930s something.
So Parsons had a very big interest in the occult, and it did not detour his career progress. And he was also appointed to the West Coast. He was also appointed as the leader of the West Coast OTO in the early 1940s. So now he's, you know, making rocket fuel and jet propulsion. And
is he going to have time in between the West Coast and the East Coast OTO battles?
I don't know.
West Coast!
So... And becoming the leader of the West Coast OTO, he reported directly to Aleister Crowley. So that's like...
I was thinking Ron Perlman.
Ooh. Why were you thinking Ron Perlman?
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy, all right. He even used his money to buy a mansion in Pasadena and turned it into his den of hedonism.
I need one of them.
A den of hedonism?
Can we turn the second bedroom into a den of hedonism?
Sure. If yes. You feel like you got to clean it out first.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, exactly. Frank Malia's wife said that walking into the mansion was like walking into a Fellini movie. Women were walking around in togas and weird makeup. Some of them were dressed up like animals. It was like a costume party.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does. People probably having sex all over the place. So the U.S. government...
It was like a slip and slide when you tried walking through the
room. Oh, God, no! Stop it! Ew. The U.S. government was able to easily dismiss Parsons' activities, but the FBI began to surveil Parsons more closely, and suddenly his quirks and behaviors had become a liability to national security. So in 1943, he was paid off for his shares in Aerojet and expelled from the field he helped develop. Because the FBI said, we don't want you with this occultist, and here you are in the good old US of A making jet propulsion.
Now, what's he going to do with all that jet propulsion knowledge and nowhere to funnel it?
So, okay.
He'll
but
be
with,
lost.
Without work, Parsons buried himself in the occult. Then things took a turn for the worse when he became acquainted with, are you ready for this? LRH. L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology. What a stand-up guy he was.
Who, I have to say, LRH, aliens pop up.
No, he was a sham.
Maybe he was right.
Scientology's such a joke.
But here's the thing. If we find out suddenly that there's been aliens forever... And what if one is Klaatu the Destroyer or whatever it is for Scientology?
Bullshit.
But how can you call bullshit if it's the guy that they said, Xenu?
Okay, have you ever watched one of those documentaries? We've watched all those documentaries.
Okay.
If it happens, then you're going to be like, LRH was right.
You know what? I just want you to remember.
We should have joined Scientology.
I said it today.
Gone hundreds of thousands of dollars into debt.
June 12th, 2020. If LRH was right. Wow. Because he's crazy.
And you'll have to excuse the background noise. Our dog has decided that, you know, she wants to play with the cat now. Peanut. Leave Poe alone. He met up with LRH, and Hubbard encouraged Parsons to attempt to summon an actual goddess to Earth in a ludicrous ritual that involved ritual chanting, drawing occult symbols in the air with swords, dripping animal blood on runes and masturbating in order to impregnate magical tablets.
Wow.
Yeah, that's quite a ritual there.
Quite a thing going on.
Yeah, quite a bit. So this prompted Aleister Crowley to dismiss Parsons as a weak fool. However, Hubbard soon vanished with Parsons' girlfriend, Sarah Northrup, who he ended up marrying, and a significant amount of money. Shocker.
Yeah, exactly.
During the onset of the Red Scare in the late 40s, Parsons once again was under the watchful eye of the U.S. government due to his involvement in sexual perversions of the OTO. And the fact that the U.S. government had cut him out of his field made him like a freelance kind of dude, and he was working with other countries, and that put him under more suspicion, and the FBI didn't like that. So he was convinced the FBI was following him. There were no hopes of him returning to government work. Parsons became an explosive expert in the film industry.
Well, because that's what you do.
Well, that's what you do when you can't find a job in your field. So
I got all that knowledge.
That's right. So, but on June 17th, 1952, Parsons was working on explosives for a film project at his home lab when an unplanned detonation destroyed his lab and killed him. The 37-year-old was found with broken bones, a missing right forearm, and half of his face nearly ripped off. Authorities ruled it an accident, but some of his friends and plenty of amateur theorists think the government just wanted to get rid of him because he was now an embarrassing icon for the American scientific history.
So they hopped up community. They hopped up his mix and...
They think, maybe, some people think that he may have committed suicide because he just couldn't, he wasn't satisfied with the work. There's a lot of theories on there about them, but Jack Parsons, what a life.
That's it. And I'll tell you what, I can understand it. If you are hot shit in the world of jet propulsion, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you take the fall. I mean, yep. We've all been there. We've all been to the pinnacle.
We've all been there, that's right.
And we've to all taken our tumble.
Yep. With the occult and everything else, yeah.
The thing you can't do is you won't back down.
You won't, nope.
Hey, baby.
So that's the crazy story of Jack Parsons. I mean, he touched a lot of big occult names.
Oh, I didn't hear that he was touching people.
Well, yeah, he was a sexual, you know, the sexual perversion stuff with...
Touching. Bad touch.
So that's my story for this week.
That's your story?
Jack Parsons. Crazy-ass Jack Parsons.
Well, great.
Well, not really crazy, just, you know.
All right, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Seconds. It's almost going to be instant. See, I told you. It was like I wasn't even gone.
Bam.
Boom.
And we're back.
Mind's blown. Poof.
Mm-hmm.
So, the spin of the wheel. My first spin that I got this week was Legends. I wasn't feeling it. So I spun around a little bit more, and I got some category, and I decided just to do Legends. Because the first thing that came to my mind was, like, the ultimate legend. When I think of what I ran into as a child, my first real experience with an urban legend was the Hook Man.
The Hook Man, yes.
Okay, so those of you who aren't familiar, because from my understanding, every town, every area has some version of this out there.
Well, you know what was funny was I had to get my physical for work this morning. So when I was talking to the doctor, kind of mentioned our podcast, and... I was telling him that this week what we were doing, and I told him that you were doing the Hook Man. He goes, "What's the Hook Man?" And this, he was an older guy. He's probably like our parents' age, you know, maybe a little younger, but he didn't know what the Hook Man was. So I kind of, you know, had to explain it to him.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of wild. I thought everybody kind of knew about the Hook Man. But then again, I have a best friend who doesn't know what the word libations is. So, you know, goes to show. Yes, that was a burn.
Burn on
burn.
Jamie, if you actually do listen to us at any point.
Burn.
A little bit of a burn.
I love you, Jamie.
All right. So for those of us who don't, or those who may not know the legend of the Hook Man.
Mm-hmm.
As I heard it and as I knew it as a child was teenage Billy Riley and Mandy Von Underpants.
Okay.
All right. So a boy and a girl go up to Lover's Lane.
Right.
Overlooking town, whatever it is. Very discreet location,
mm-hmm.
scenic, where they can get it on in the car. That's all they had to do back then.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Pretty much that was it.
If you wanted
to have a young lady.
You go to the malt shop.
You would have an egg cream.
Egg cream. Yum!
Have an egg cream or a pop.
A soda.
And a hot dog. And then Mandy Plump Lips would go get Billy. I don't know.
These names you're coming up with are just wow.
So they would go up. So as it is, they were sitting in the car. They hear a report come over the radio. Breaks in over the radio.
Mm-hmm.
An insane killer.
Insane.
Had escaped from Arkham. Or whatever the place
Arkham,
it is.
Now we're flipping to Batman. Okay.
It might be Batman. It may not be. So they had escaped from the insane asylum. And he was going to kill people.
Kill.
So. And he was known... because he had a hook in place of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're sitting there and they're getting it on. They're having their little makeout session.
They're necking. He's trying to get to first base.
And
she's saying, no, Bob, no. I'm a good girl. I don't do those things.
She says, I'm a little worried. What happens if the killer's around? And Billy's like, I will protect you.
And mind you, Billy probably weighs all like a buck and a quarter. So
buck and a quarter.
He ain't protecting nothing.
So, and next thing you know, you hear a scraping across the top of the car.
Ooh. That makes me... Just the noise. Yeah.
And Billy goes, I'm gonna go see. Well, no, don't. Don't go out of the car.
White people, they always got to be going to check stuff out.
And then there's more, like, scraping against the car, and it's so dark. And they sat there for a while, to the point where their car dies. In some areas of it, it dies. Whatever it is, they're not able to drive out of there.
Right.
So they finally get the car started, and... you know, you hear like a metal scraping on it, like Peanut's teeth on
the
bone
she's chewing on.
That she's chewing on right
Peanut.
Next to us.
Peanut, come here, sweetie. Come here.
And then.
Come here, baby.
They run off and they drive
Peanut,
off.
Come here.
And, okay. Little Billy gets home. He takes Mandy home and he pulls up to the house and they look out and there's the hook. Attached to the side of the car.
Ooh,
where it had gotten pulled off and they had just gotten away.
Scary.
Now, I've heard other variations of this.
Yeah.
I've heard where they saw the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they heard this scraping on top of the car. And the car wouldn't start. And then when they finally, the next day, the police came out. Billy had gone out to check, and Billy was just draped over the car, bleeding out, dead from the Hook Man. Now, Jen, if you've heard this, what was your...
My local kind of Hook Man? Yeah. My local Hook Man was like the same thing. The teenagers go up to like Lookout Point, and they're making out, and you know, then they hear the scratching and whatnot, and I've heard versions where it was just the scratching. They left, they got home, the hook was hanging on the door. Excuse me, the margaritas got me. And then I've heard that the ones where the Hook Man actually like kills them, the car's there, the cops come up and find the car
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're dead and the hook is always hanging from the car door handle. That's like the end of the story. Every time I've heard it, it's always hanging on the car door handle.
Right, hanging on the car door
handle. But I've heard they made it home. I've heard they died, you know.
Right.
So.
Now, there's been others like this. Okay, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Right.
The movie where it was a hook man. Or a guy who was using the hook.
Like a fisherman or something?
Yeah, he was just using the hook. So it wasn't like it was quite as dastardly. But I had to say, this one scared the hell out of me when I was a little kid. Just the thought of being alone in the forest.
Right.
Younger, you know, doing something, oh my God, like, you know, that you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
You know, kind of breaking the law a little bit. And then, you know, you end up paying this price for it, which, you know, I guess it's just one of those lessons that goes out there that parents wanted us to
have. Yeah, I think it was like, you know, parents just making some shit up, trying to scare their kids to not have sex or not come home too late or something like that, you know.
But think about it, though. Next time, and just remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Next time you go.
Mm-hmm.
You're out for a long drive and you go, I'm going to sit here and look over
it's
the
nighttime,
city.
It's nighttime, yeah.
Maybe the car just doesn't start right the first time. Maybe you hear something. You hear scraping on the car. You never know.
That's why y'all's got to pack heat, Bob.
Ratata! 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 You just got to take him out then.
That's right.
The Hookman. See, you can't get away. Hookman can't get away with anything like that now.
No, there's no way.
No, everybody's packing.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Even somebody's great grandma down the street, strapped with a 9.
That's it. They're probably Antifa people. They come equipped.
They come equipped. That's right.
So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. I want to remind you that next week. Will be our first season finale.
We'll be on the road again.
And to celebrate that, we're going to be on the road again.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
And we're going to be conducting an interview. And we are going to be broadcasting from lovely Ohio.
Cambridge, Ohio.
So you guys keep your eyes open for next week's episode.
Going to be talking, yeah.
Listen to us
here
on Anchor. Oh. You can listen to us on Spotify,
Apple Podcasts. You name it, we're there.
We're there because we're what it's all about.
Oh, yeah.
Two 16 viewers strong.
That's right. 16. We want to pump those numbers up.
Woo!
Woo! But, two special guests next week.
Oh, and the Bob.
That's right. The Bob will be on the podcast. So.
Jennifer's dad.
Yes.
Making an appearance.
Yes.
Spinning the words of wisdom.
That's right.
Spinning it.
That's right. So, you know what, guys? We appreciate all of you that listen to us. We really appreciate it. We know we're some ragamuffins in the podcast world, but, you know, hey, we're interesting.
We're moving on up.
That's right.
To the east side.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky.